How you guys doing? My name is Matt. I am the founding pastor of Northstar Community Church up in Loveland, of which we are partnering together with you guys, building a friendship, a great friendship with Andy and Craig and your team. And this week, by the way, this weekend is our 15-year anniversary. And so David kicked me out and sent me here, and he's speaking. So I think he's trying to take over. I don't know if you guys have met David or not, but it's a takeover. I'm just kidding. But I've been in this city a long time now. I'm 51 years old. It's been great to partner in the city with different churches like you guys. Seeing Dan and Marianne over here, you guys need to know this couple was huge to me back in the day. They're like 25 years older than me, maybe 30 years older. But I was a P&G guy. I was working in youth ministry, and I decided to leave, quit my job, and go into full-time youth ministry. And this couple was so instrumental in just helping me financially, emotionally. It was just huge. So just seeing how the parts of the body work together to love each other, and it's just, you guys are blessed to have a great team here. So with that being said, talking about team, we're in a series called Belong. I want to kick off this talk today with a video clip from one of my favorite movie series, The Avengers. Let's watch this video clip. We'll talk about it.
War has started. And we are hopelessly outgunned.
Director Fury, I think it's time.
You're here with a mission, sir? Trying to get me back in the world?
Trying to save it.
Doctor, we need you to come in.
What if I say no?
I'll persuade you.
What are you asking me to do? It's called the Avengers Initiative.
I thought I didn't qualify.
Apparently I'm, what is it? Volatile, self-obsessed,
and don't play well with others.
I think they need a timeout.
Lost creatures to defend you.
You have made me very desperate.
We're not a team. We're a time bomb.
So why do we love these movies? My wife loves them because she says I'm a mix between Captain America and Thor, but that's another thing. Just being honest. Why do we love these movies? What is it about them? I mean, you may not love them. I love them. And Americans love them to the tune of $9 billion. This brand is a $9 to $10 billion brand. What is it about them that we love? We love the hero movies. We love the action movies. But I think what we love in general about the Avenger movies is we love seeing heroes work together. We love seeing them bring their differences together to form a team. We love the struggle of the process that they have to lay down their egos in order to fit together. It's a struggle, though, right? If you watch the movies, they battle together. It's hard to let down their egos and set them aside and submit to each other. I love the line by Bruce Banner. We're not a team. We're a time bomb. See, here's the line. Here's the deal. In Christ, every one of us in this room, no matter how great or small you feel like you are, You are each, if you are in Christ, you're a spiritual hero, and you've been called and invited to do amazing things in the kingdom, to bring your collective gifts, no matter how small you think they are, how great they are, we're called to bring our collective gifts together to make a stronger team than we are as individuals. The question is, are we a team or are we a time bomb? To be a team, we have to understand our role in the team, our value to the team, and the value of others' roles in the team. We need to set our egos aside, set our envy aside, and we need to bring our gifts to the table, who we are, and enjoy all the gifts on the team so we can make an amazing team that changes the world. And when we don't do that, a time bomb occurs. So we're in a series called Belong. And Andy is now on a sabbatical. I'm so glad he's able to do that. I'm so glad we could partner together to do this. And the whole point of this series is to realize that every one of us is hardwired to belong to God. Whether you're new to Jesus or not, whether you've stepped in a relationship with Jesus or not, we're hardwired to experience belonging in Christ. And we're hardwired then also to belong to a greater family than ourselves. And lastly, we're hardwired to be people that help others belong. That's our purpose in this life, is to belong to Jesus and help others belong. If we don't do that, we're not experiencing our purpose. But there's a lot fighting those truths. There's a lot hindering us from experiencing those truths. At our place, back at North Star, a couple weeks ago, I talked about one of the things that hinders us is the fact that we're afraid to get vulnerable, afraid to get real. The video didn't work, so you guys weren't able to watch that talk, and Andy talked about, we talked about dropping the fig leaves, being real and being vulnerable so that we can experience belonging with God, belonging with others, and help others belong. Today, I'm kind of talking about part two of that, one of those things that hinders us from belonging to the family, belonging to God, and helping others belong. And it's this idea of we have a wrong view of our role in the family. Our view of our role in the family can hinder us from a deep belonging and hinder us from helping others belong. This week, I want to talk about our need to know our value to the team, our value of others' value to the team, and then learn to work together as a body of Christ to help others belong. Let me pray for us before we get started. Jesus, would you speak to our hearts today through your word? Would you help us see and understand our value to the body, other people's value to the body, and learn to work together better as a team so that we can really make a difference in this world like you've invited us to. In your name, amen. Here's the deal. We either have a too low a view of ourselves or too high a view of ourselves in the body of Christ. There's two forms of narcissism, right? But there's a great little read. It's just 50 pages. I encourage you to get it, by Tim Keller, called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. Freedom, it's a phenomenal book. And he talks about there's two types of narcissism. One, either we think too low of ourselves, or two, we think too high of ourselves. And either view is thinking about who? Ourselves. And we need to get our eyes off ourselves. If we think too low of ourselves, we diminish who God has made us to be. We put down who God has made us to be. If we think too high of ourselves, we're lifting ourselves above God and think we're needed in the body of Christ more than we actually are. There's this tension of recognizing that we are neither none of that, nor are we all of that. We are in Christ, really powerful, really important, and we need each other to be a part of the body. And if we don't get this, we become a spiritual time bomb. If we get this, we become an amazing team. I just saw a commercial recently, a Geico commercial, and I want you to watch this commercial to see what happens if we don't have a right view of our role and we step out of that view. Let's watch this.
Triangle solo? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much money Sam and Joanna save by switching to Geico. Ow! 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
To see more great Geico commercials and videos, click the subscribe button.
I love that commercial, right? Because this guy totally ruins the symphony because he's focused on his little triangle. Now, the idea, though, is not for him to sit there and think, I'm worthless, I'm just a little triangle. The triangle brings something to the team. But he doesn't want to supersede the team by beating his drum more than he needs to. So that's what we're going to look at today. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. verse 12. It's a passage many of us are familiar with. But we look at it today and see what God tells us through the Apostle Paul about our role in the body and having a healthy view of our role in our body. And that's what I'm hoping for today, that each one of us leaves here today realizing we're really important to the body and we have an important role to play, but we're not all that, all right? Here's the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The church was having infighting. They were trying to learn what it looked like to be a to be the body of Christ. There were Jews and Gentiles hanging out together. The Jews who were God's chosen people that had now received Christ. And then they invited Gentiles in and like, I don't know, you guys eat bad food. You know, can we be friends or slave and free together, male and female, different ethnicities working together? It was this messy, beautiful body of Christ trying to make a difference in the world in that area. And they were infighting. And Paul comes to speak to them about this issue of you've got to see your value as a team. All your differences make a collective, beautiful picture that the world is going to long to be a part of. And here's what he says, verse 12 of chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. This could be an amazing life mission statement. If we could just read that regularly and go, wow, the Spirit of God lives in us and we all have the same Spirit, that makes me just as equal in the body of Christ as you. You're no better than me and I'm no better than you because you have the Spirit of God. And when we see each other, the Spirit of God, we greet each other in the Spirit of God and we go, wow, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Lives in me. We're together. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. Just because I have a microphone, it doesn't make me any better. Just because someone can sing better, doesn't make it. We're all part of the same team. And I love this. Wouldn't our world be better if we looked and said, there's no slave, no free, no male, no female, no black, no white. No, we're all equal in Christ. And our differences are beautiful and make a great patchwork quilt. And Paul goes on to talk about the ludicrousness of not believing this truth. He says this, imagine, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. You ought to circle that in your Bibles. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. He first tackles this issue that some were feeling less than. So there's some of us in the room here that feel less than about ourselves. So the first message is to you. He's saying, look, you do matter. You're not unimportant. He's saying, imagine if one of the parts of the body said, I'm not a hand, so I'm worthless. Imagine the ear were to say, I'm not an eye, so I'm worthless. Paul's saying it's wrong thinking. You matter. The body doesn't exist well without all the body parts working together. It just doesn't, right? And he kind of has this ludicrous kind of picture. Like, imagine just being one big giant eye. You're just one big giant eye, and you're saying, you know what, I don't need the hands. I'm good without the hands. Well, then you couldn't pick anything up. All the things you see, you couldn't pick up. Or, you know, if you're an ear going, I'm not an eye, I'm no good. Yeah, but if you can't hear, I mean, how many of us want all our senses working, right? Just if all you can do is see, that's great, but that would be hard. We want all the parts working together. And then he tackles this idea that sameness is not the goal. We don't all want to be alike. There's beauty and value in the differences. Again, if we're all an eye, we can't smell. If we're all an ear, we can't see. And it reminds us the role that we play was picked by God for us to play. There are no insignificant roles. A doctor friend of mine came to me and said, remember years ago when we used to think the appendix was worthless? Remember that? Anyone have your appendix taken out? You used to think, what's that there for? You're a nurse, aren't you, Marianne? And now they found out that the appendix actually does some pretty incredible stuff. Even the thing that seems insignificant, the pinky toe or the pinky Like they say, you can't really, you lose like 30% of your strength if your pinky gets cut off. That poor little pinky has a lot of power to it, right? Everything matters in the body. And then he goes into a little more humor to challenge those that think they're all that, those that think they're the most important part of the body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. So again, he gives us this goofy, funny kind of picture. Just imagine this eye saying, I'm all that. Again, in our world today, there are people that think they're all that. No one can exist without them. And God is speaking through Paul to them like, you think you're all that. You're not. Just know your place. Either don't go to this place, I'm not all that, I'm worthless, and don't go to the place, I'm all that, I can do it on my own. Because no one can do it on their own. There's no part of the body that is bigger than the other. In a lot of churches, we give the person with the microphone the most credit. The person with the microphone does not have the most credit. We're just one part of the body, just doing a part in the body to bring the body glory to God, bring God glory. That's what we're all supposed to do and enjoy every part the role plays. How many of you guys are Bengal fans? We have any Bengal fans here? It's a hard year to be a Bengal fan, right? How great is a quarterback if he doesn't have a good O-line, right? Andy Dalton will tell you that right now, right? Aaron Rodgers may be the only guy that can get away with a bad O-line, maybe. But even that, take away his O-line, and he's not winning championships, right? Tom Brady's amazing. You take away his O-line, he's not as amazing. He's just a slow guy out there that looks really good and has a hot wife. The whole thing I shouldn't have said that. That was just not in the notes. Sorry. And eats really goofy, stupid food. But anyway, all the parts of the body matter. You have a great defense. You have a great offense, but no defense. You can't win, right? Paul is challenging this wrong thinking. And then he goes on to really speak to some members of the body that feel weak and ugly. He's saying some of you guys feel small and insignificant. He says those that feel dispensable are really indispensable as well. Those of you that feel dishonorable are really honorable as well. He's not saying that anyone's better than anybody else, but he's speaking to a group of the audience that says you feel shame. You feel icky and ugly. You feel like, what role can I play in the body? Do you know what I've done? Do you know where I've been? Look at my sin. And Paul is saying, look, I know it. You feel like a private part that's been exposed. He's really getting kind of suggestive here. You feel like a part of the genitalia that's been exposed. You feel icky. It goes back to this thing of we don't want the fig leaves to be dropped. And he goes, those parts of the body are not less significant. They're not more significant, but they matter. You matter to the body in all your nakedness. There's no shame. God says, I want you to be free and walk in freedom in who you are in Christ and understand that there's no one that is unacceptable to God. Therefore, there's now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Right? Like you come before God and you just lay it down and go, I come with my junk and my grossness and you love me anyway. And in so doing, by the way, you actually add to the body. By leading the way with stepping out to say, I need Jesus. I'm broken. I'm in need. That adds to the body. There's this beautiful thing. Bottom line, everyone matters in the body. Everyone gets to play. No one is less than anybody else. No one is better than anyone else. We each have a value to uplift the body as a whole. And we're all needed in the rescue mission. Paul closes with this statement. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Again, not greater meaning like they're better, but just he's lifting it up because they feel insignificant. That there may be no division in the body. But that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. I love this. If one suffers, all suffer. If one is celebrated, all are celebrated. The body is so important together. I'm good friends with Brian Tome at Crossroads, and they just had a little blurb come out about them. They're the fastest growing church in the United States, right here in our little city called Cincinnati. And I don't know if you guys know this. You may know this, but pastors can be one of the most insecure groups of people I've ever met. I've been around them a long time. And I used to work for P&G. And P&G, we used to call ourselves the type A-driven insecures. So there's a lot of insecurity there too, right? But the pastors, you get in there, they're all like, hey, how big's your flock? You know, how much you taking in there? And there's just this comparison and going on all the time. And I want to tell you right now, when a blurb comes out about Crossroads like this, I have a lot of friends that get mad, get irritable. I'm looking to stop it. We need that church to be the most successful it can possibly be. Because I got to tell you, when one part of the body wins, all part of the body wins. Last time I checked, 1.5 million people in Cincinnati are not all saved. Are all 1.5 million people in Cincinnati saved? We need every church to be as successful and thriving as it can be. And there all are no insignificant churches. There are times in your history when you're in your newness. I remember when we were early on in our church, we were like 80 people sometimes. And we feel like, oh, are we doing anything? Every person in every seat matters as an important to the body of Christ, the kingdom. It matters. It is significant. When one part of the body is strong, all parts of the body are strong. Let's celebrate it. When one part suffers, another deal. There was a pastor that fell recently. And I remember this guy calling me. Yeah, he's another pastor. I knew that guy would fall. He's a bad apple, that guy. Got what he had coming to him. Like, dude, you better watch it. Because we should not be happy about another pastor falling. We should not be happy when the church fails. This isn't a competition, right? We are in it together. And we all win when the body of Christ wins across, because we're all an important part of the body. This letter of Corinthians was written to the city of Corinth. Think about it. It's written to one city, and they just passed the letter to all the churches. This is like he'd write a letter to the city of Cincinnati. We are one church. To think about the fact that we're one body of Christ, all meeting together on a Sunday morning to celebrate the glory of God and to help people in this city be invited into the rescue. We're on a rescue mission, right? Turn to the person next to you and say, we're on a rescue mission. I know it sounds corny. Come on now. Say, you're on a rescue mission. We're on a rescue mission to invite the people of our neighborhoods, our soccer teams, our workplaces into experiencing belonging with Jesus. Not in a bullhorn kind of way, but in a loving kind of way that says, man, I want to show you Jesus. That's the role we have to play. There's three things that this passage is shouting. You want to take this home and think about it. Number one, Paul is shouting us, the onus is on us to believe that we matter to the body of Christ and not be envious of others. That's the first thing. You matter, you matter, you matter. Don't be envious of others and their gifts. Number two, he's saying you're not all that. You're not all that. Value other people's gifts. Lift them up and call them out. And number three, he's saying step into your gifting. Step into it and invite others to step into theirs. When we do, we will experience the joy of belonging more deeply in Christ. When we do, we will help others experience belonging in Christ. When we do, we'll be a part of the rescue mission of inviting others into belonging. If each one of us does our part or parts, we will do and understand our role. We will do so joyfully, and we will call out life in each other. What a beautiful picture it will be. How many of you guys are just tired of the infighting in Washington, D.C. right now? How many of you guys are sick and tired of the garbage? I don't care which flag you fly, which party you're for. I'm sick of it, and it's gross. And now we're in a culture now where no one can even talk about differences without getting in a fight, right? If I look at you and go, oh, you're a Republican, man, then we're not even going to be friends now. That's ludicrous. And you know what, church? Church. We got to set the tone. We got to change the conversation. We got to be like, tell me your differences. I love those differences. Let me just show you Jesus. Let's smell like Jesus together. Let's invite each other into a connectedness and a unity. Unity is our strongest ally to change the world, to demonstrate to the world we bring love and power through valuing each other's differences. Every part of the body matters, and every part of the body is celebrated. Every part of the body is important and needed in this rescue mission. Amen? Amen. Years ago, I'll never forget, I'm just going to be facetiously arrogant here. I thought I was all that. I was a young PNG-er, and I thought I was starting to do youth ministry. I was living in Indianapolis at the time before I moved here, and I was would get a chance to speak places, and I started having, you know, hundreds of kids show up at this place. And I thought I was all that. I thought I was the most important part of the body. And the guy that was the youth pastor of the church we went to said, Matt, I want to break up these different activities and lead our... We had like 200 kids in our youth group over in Indianapolis. And he said, different leaders to run different areas to take the kids. Someone's going to do a sports ministry with the kids. Someone's going to do blah, 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 had all these things. And I'm like raising my hand for the sports ministry. And the entire team said, Matt, we know you're the athletic guy, but we actually want you to run a different ministry. It's really cool. We want you to go into the nursing home and do that ministry. I'm like, yeah, no. Don't do. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Not doing. Old people. Not going to do it. And I was just like, I was young, hotshot, thought I was all that. And I'm like, they're like, yeah. And they did a classic, all favor, Matt, say, aye. I'm like, come on, what happened? And so I had to start going every other week to a nursing home. And I just didn't like nursing homes. I was afraid of them. I was afraid of elderly people. I was afraid, I don't know what, but I didn't know what to do. I couldn't make them laugh or something. They didn't get my jokes. They thought I was crass. I don't know what. I don't know why. But anyway, so I kind of, here was my announcement to the youth group, to the students, to say, here's what, I was like, we're doing this thing at the nursing home. If you guys want to come, I guess we'll do something. I don't know. Just show up. See you Sunday. Right after church. All right, bye. Well, of course, two kids showed up. My PR announcement was so strong, we had two kids show up. And one of the girls that showed up was Sunhee. Her name was Sunhee Pak. And Sunhee just shows up, and she goes, Matt, this is going to be great. Well, I'm so excited. I love this nursing home. And we get to the nursing home, and she just disappears. She goes. And I'm stuck with one other, you know, freshman boy, and we're just kind of walking around. You're like, tissue, hi. My name's Matt. Matt! Okay. All right, we're leaving. And we were just kind of, and after like an hour and a half, Sunhee would show up with a smiling face. Let's go. And I'm like, what? What have you been doing? After several times of doing this, she started recruiting people. And the people she recruited would get there and they'd take off. And I just kind of would run to the building. Finally, she looks at me, the student, says, Matt, you've got it all wrong. Your attitude's wrong. These people are amazing. I'm like, please. No, no, they're amazing. I need you to meet Mama Grace. Like, all right. She goes, I tell you what, I want a bunch of people to meet Mama Grace. She's a woman that lives here. And so we're going to promote it, and we're going to invite her all to meet Mama Grace. All right, whatever. So the next time she's promoted, like 40 kids show up. And I'm, because of who I was at that time, I was like, oh, they showed up because of me. Finally, it's coming through. And we all show up at the nursing home. And we get there, and they put us in one room, and they say, hey, we're going to bring Mama Grace in. And said she's 90 years old. She can barely see. She's got arthritis in every part of her body. So don't hug her too tightly. Just be real gentle. And we're going to bring her in. We're going to let her talk to you. We're all sitting in a big circle. They wheel her in. And this woman wheels in. She's hunched over like this. And she straightens up her eyes. She goes, welcome, children. Oh, children, welcome. And I was mesmerized by this woman. This feeble person who can't be used in the body of Christ anymore. And she starts going around the room to each kid. She looks at this kid, says, what's your name? My name's Billy. Why did you come here today? My mom made me come. She said, that's okay. They made me come here too. And everyone kind of just laughs. And she asks a little bit about Billy, and then she prays for Billy. She wheels over, just puts her little crinkled hands on him, prays for him. She goes around the room like this. And then she'd get like 15 people down, and she'd be like, oh, that's like what this girl said. Well, remember their name. I didn't know the kids' names. She remembered their name, and she was quoting chapters of Scripture. This woman could barely see, but she had like half the Bible memorized. She prays Scripture over people. By the time she gets to me, and I'm sitting in I picked a wheelchair. I was doing pop wheelies, you know, being Mr. Entertainer. And by the time she gets to me, I'm totally still, and I'm mesmerized. I'm in awe. And she gets to me and says, and what's your name? I said, I'm Matt. She goes, oh, I've heard about you. I went, oh, great. She goes, you don't like old people very much, do you? And oh, gosh. She says, that's okay. I don't like old people either. And we all just kind of laughed. And I just sat there, and she rolled her chair right up to me. And I'll never forget. She looked at me and said, you may think we're insignificant, but we're not. Everyone in Christ matters. Anyone who has a pulse in Jesus matters. And then she leaned to me and said, and God sees you, Matt, not because your external giftings. God sees you because of your heart for him, and he will use you when you walk in him humbly. I'm now a basket case. I'm bawling. And she lays her hands on my head and just begins to pray for me. I started to go see this woman weekly by myself on an off day just to go sit with her and let her read scripture to me, let her teach me. And she died like 2 years later. I was living here and I went back and I go to the funeral. Kid you not, this 94-year-old woman, when she died, 90-something-year-old woman, there was literally 2,500 people at her funeral. And person after person after person standing up saying, Mama Grace led me to Christ when she was in the nursing home. I went there to serve old people. She served me. There are no insignificant parts in the body. Every part of the body matters. If you're a prayer warrior, if you're an evangelist, if you're a servant in Quest, in your children's ministry, no matter what part of the body you're in, it matters, right? Do your part. Step in and be a part of the rescue mission. And then we will look and smell like Jesus and we will change the world. Would you do me a favor? Stand with me. Let's... Band, come on up. I want to just pray a blessing over you guys this morning as you're here. I'm going to pray a blessing of unity. I want to pray a blessing of purpose. The unity being that you would understand your part in the body, you'd be unified as a team, and you'd be unified in the rescue mission. And you would not feel insignificant. You would feel significant in the body of Christ, and you'd understand your purpose. Just love one. Just love one. With your eyes closed, if you're here today and you're feeling small and you're feeling tired, I believe the Lord just wants to say to you right now, what you're doing matters. Being a dad, being a mom, being a husband, being a wife, that matters. Being a kid in school, that matters. Being in your workplace, it matters. Being where you are, who you are in Christ, where you are, matters. Jesus, I pray right now, a spirit of unity upon us. I pray a spirit of purpose upon us. They would walk in our giftings. We walk in our purpose. And we understand our role in the mission, in the rescue mission. We have prayer teams up here. We'd love to pray with you. If you're feeling any, if you're feeling insignificant, you're feeling tired, you're feeling excited maybe about something, you want to pray for greater purpose in your mission, in your workplace, wherever you are, just come get prayer and take communion. Understanding God laid down his body, broke his body was broken, his blood was poured out to invite us into the rescue mission, to set us free from our sin, to set us free to love others into a relationship with Jesus. Let's worship Jesus as you feel led. Come on up.